You're listening to Vatican Radio. Catholic and Anglican theologians meet together in Durban, South Africa on Monday for the opening of a fourth session of their current dialogue, known as Archic 3. The theme for this third phase of the Anglican Roman Catholic International Commission is to explore the Church as communion, local and universal, and how together they come to discern correct ethical teaching. The new Catholic co-secretary of the dialogue is Father Tony Currer, in charge of relations with the Anglican Communion at the Pontifical Council for Promoting Christian Unity. I caught up with him just ahead of his departure for South Africa to find out more about what this meeting hopes to achieve. Father Tony, you're the Catholic co-secretary and this is your first Archic meeting. What are your expectations ahead of this encounter in South Africa?
Well, I have been part of the steering committee, so the two presidents and the two secretaries meet together and discuss where things are up to and what our hopes are. So I have that background in knowing where Archic is up to. It's one of the longer dialogues that we do in terms of 10-day meeting. And it's clear that we've got some serious issues to deal with. We have to look at methodology. We are looking at how far we'll be using the tool of receptive ecumenism as a way of preparing our documents and how much our documents will follow the tradition that we've followed in Archic previous to that, which is writing consensus documents or differentiated consensus documents. So we have some methodological discussions to engage in, and I think that's going to be a lot of the meat of this particular meeting in Durban.
You are working towards a document, though. What do you expect to come out of that, and when are we likely to see it?
Yes, we're working towards a document. I don't feel that I'm in a position to say when that might come about because, you know, this is my first meeting and I need to get a sense of that. Well, obviously, we're looking at the relationship between the local and the universal church and moral and ethical decision-making within our church structures. I think what we can aim for, what we can hope to do, is provide something that is of benefit to both churches in how we approach and deal with these questions. The importance of the dialogue with the Anglican Communion, the importance for both communions, is that we're living in the same world and we are facing the same problems. We're very similar in lots of ways. We have a traditional homeland in the West, in Europe and North America, and we face there the problems of secularization, of liberalism, and a culture that is becoming estranged from its Christian roots. And both communions have to work out how to respond to the questions that culture throws at it. And at the same time, we've got expansion in what we tend to call the global south. Our centres of gravity are not exactly the same. But that causes a challenge for us to be a communion, a global communion, across that vast cultural difference. And that's true for the Anglican Communion. And it's also true for us, you know, and we are actually, of course, at the moment with the forthcoming synod, we're trying to have one of those global conversations, and in many ways we're doing it very well, but it is still a challenge to us, and it's the same kind of challenge which we face together with the Anglican Communion. So what we can hope to do in Archic is to think about that as a process, how both communions attempt to deal with that difficulty, with that challenge, and how we can offer each other insights, how we can receive from the other their insights, their wisdom in the way we deal with this challenge.
Given these common challenges, as you say, which both churches are facing, there are many who lose patience with the lengthy process of these dialogues.
Yeah, I mean, we could give superficial responses to deep questions, and that wouldn't be of service to either communion. If we're serious about the search for full visible unity, then deep talking has to be done, and that takes time. A superficial attempt to resolve differences, it just comes apart very, very quickly. We have to build a communion and a unity that is much, much stronger than that, and that does take time. And if we are to prepare something and produce a document which is real benefit to our two communions, then that will take real hard thinking, and we'll have to work through serious disagreements and really come to a meeting of minds that, you know, is not just a patching up of those differences or a papering over those differences. That's what ultimately will be of service to our communions, and that's what we're looking to produce.
We've just seen the Church of England celebrating 20 years of women priests as it moves very fast towards the ordination of women bishops. To many, it would seem that these differences are deepening, hardening even, and that the meeting of minds you're talking about is less and less likely.
Obviously, that is a very significant difficulty and obstacle to us being able to envisage full visible unity in the immediate future. It shouldn't overshadow the great wealth of unity and unity statements that we already have. I mean, in the really important matters of faith, we have tremendous areas of agreement that we know we share a common faith on all the really important matters of doctrine. But this is significant, and we know that it means we have to approach our dialogue in a different way. And I think receptive ecumenism is part of that attempt, first part of an attempt to think, well, what can we do with this dialogue that's going to be of real benefit to both communions? Because we have some problems that we know we're not going to be able to solve anytime soon. And the ordination of women is our differences on that question is one of those. So instead we look to how we can have a dialogue which is going to be of mutual benefit.
The Archic meeting comes just before the Archbishop of Canterbury is due back here in the Vatican. What are your hopes ahead of that second encounter of the Pope and the Archbishop?
Firstly, it's wonderful that the Archbishop wants to build this relationship with Pope Francis and with us at the Pontifical Council in the Vatican, that he and the Pope want to work together on a whole range of issues, and they're working on these issues. We should realise is a direct fruit of almost five decades of our conversations now, and the theological agreements that we've had makes this kind of cooperation just seem the most natural and obvious thing that we should be doing. And so we are working on the human trafficking question with the Global Freedom Network. We also find in the Archbishop someone who is deeply rooted in Catholic spirituality, and part of the visit will be meeting with the Superior General of the Jesuits. That Jesuit tradition has a real important part in the Archbishop's spirituality. The religious community, San Egidio, Chemin Neuf, who have got, a place in the Archbishop's spirituality. He's also bringing with him Nicky Gumbel, and that's part of his faith story as well. And something that we can hope to receive from Alpha is something which the Catholic Church is anxious to know something about, and to find ways in which we can use the wisdom and the insights of that evangelistic tool of Alpha. So
Nicky Gumbel, the founder of the Alpha movement.
Yeah, so there will be I think we can see in this visit there's a real sharing of gifts in both ways.
My thanks there to Father Tony Currer, in charge of Catholic-Anglican relations at the Pontifical Council for Christian Unity and co-secretary of the Archic III Dialogue.